Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Psychic Talk Radio. This is the Tarot Insider Show here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. I'm Dax Carlisle, coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona. I am the executive producer, you might say, of Psychic Talk, but we have, 14 hosts on the network here, all kinds of shows. And I've also been doing a little thing called the Tarot Guild for 14 years. Joining me today is the fabulous Janet Boyer, certified tarot master, writer, deck creator extraordinaire. I could go on, it would take the rest of the show, so we're just going to talk to Janet. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Dax. Oh my gosh, I'm so flattered. Thank you. Hi,
well,
everybody.
You know,
hope you're having a good day.
I think you should give credit where credit is due. And, you know, you've been putting in the work for decade after decade after decade. And, you know, I just think that should be pointed out. And also, you know, talking about doing the Tarot Guild for 14 years and all the wonderful things that you've done and all the writing and the reviews and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reviews of tarot decks and tarot books, not to mention writing our own books, producing our own decks, you know, with illustrator hubby Ron, and of course Noah helping out as well. And, you know, it also gives a perspective to the listener where we're coming from.
Yeah, there's different angles. You know, when you put on your reviewer hat, that's more of a deconstructive, and then, you know, then there's the teacher hat when, you know, when I'm writing or, you know, doing radio shows. And yeah, there's different hats and different angles that you come to the tarot with. And when you create your own deck or decks, you know, then it expands even more, especially if they're not Rider-Waite inspired decks like our Snowland and Coffee Tarot are not. And it's, you know, I was thinking earlier how the card image always informs and influences, you know, interpretation. And I was thinking about, because I'm right in the middle, well, actually towards the end of writing the Coffee Tarot Companion book, and I was thinking of how some of our images are vastly different from one another in the two decks,
mm-hmm.
and so are the interpretations. And so, you know, it's important, listeners, when we talk about different cards too, that they consider the imagery found on their deck, especially if it's, you know, not a Rider-Waite one, and that way that, you know, that artist's interpretation can help expand, you know, the interpretation even further. So not forget to consider that as well.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of that, in preparation for today's show, I did post on our Facebook group. It's the Open Psychic Talk Radio group. I posted an image of the three cards from the Minor Arcana. It also has the Major Arcana threes, you know, because this actually is a slide from my course, Tarot by the Numbers. And this just gives you a little visual reference. Now, this is the Radiant Tarot, which is a version of the Waite-Smith deck. And, you know, the Waite-Smith is not the be-all or end-all. As Janet was just talking, there's going to be, you know, so many different images in the hundreds upon hundreds, perhaps thousands of decks that are out there, and they have their own interpretations, their own symbolism, and so forth. I just like teaching from this deck for some kind of a reference when my students are going through the course, you know. And so as we've been doing these mini classes live on air, going through the minor arcana. You know, we're talking about the essence of the cards, how that, you know, it can be applied to any deck. And it's really great when Janet chimes in with, you know, various aspects of images from other decks, and also like your two decks, you know, the Coffee Tarot and the Snowland deck, and, you know, how the same card with the same essence, but there can be different symbols. And so there's, you know, slight or sometimes more than slight differences, you know, that, you know, it just adds to the, adds to the depth of the vocabulary that is tarot, you know, is the way I look at it.
I totally agree. And I think anybody can expand their, you know, kashif associations if they just remember that you can look at any tarot card from any lens. And I think what restricts some people or limits their vision or their view of a card is because they only pick the typical lenses, which understandably when somebody's getting a reading, it's usually within these few lenses, which is like career, money, relationships, vocation, health. Those are usually the main reasons people get a tarot reading. But you can look at it through so many other different lenses, you know, and...
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons I, you know, wrote Back in Time Tarot, so people would start with their own memories or maybe a movie that they love or a book or a fairy tale or a song or a TV show plot or what have you. And then you start making associations based on real-life situations. And then when you do that, you really start expanding your kashif associations. You go way beyond the recipe, cookbook meanings that most tarot books relying on right away myth imagery, you know, stop at, and it, you go way mm-hmm. beyond that. And so if you start asking yourself, okay, if this card was seen in this situation, like what if this card was at a restaurant, you know, and it might seem silly, but then it starts, you know, you start thinking, okay, what kind of preferences would this card have? What kind of food might it like? What environment would that card most be comfortable in? And by doing that, you kind of get a real feel for the energy, and that not only expands your intuition, but it also makes you more aware of the vast amount of, you know, personal interactions and daily situations that we can have that tarot can speak to that we may not have thought of.
Exactly. And here we are on the third one of these in this series, and we're going to be talking about the three cards. And Janet came up with this idea, and when she expressed it to me and said, you know, let's go through the minor arcana, let's do it numerologically, let's go, you know, all the one cards, all the two, all the three, I'm like, oh my God, you're right up my alley. I mean, my whole course is built on that, tarot by the numbers. And
well,
for
years I thought the minor arcana always gets the short shrift, I mean the court cards as well, but
yeah.
So many people like dedicate so much time and information to the majors. I mean, even in, you know, deck companion books that are mass market produced, you look at the major arcana and they'll dedicate 3 to 4 pages to that. You hit the minors and you get a couple sentences, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, the
mm-hmm.
minors are where we live, and not many people have done a lot with the minors, which is one of the reasons I hope to remedy that with my upcoming Naked Tarot. But I think classes like this help people too to realize, oh my gosh, you know, the minor arcana is not just small stuff. This is where we live every day. This is how those archetypes manifest, you know. And I think we definitely need to you know, shine more light on the minor arcana. So I'm really happy about this, these mini class series we're doing.
That's right. Yeah, and I wanted to start off before we get into the three cards and the minors, just, you know, set the stage a little bit. You know, if you've been following along, and here we are in the threes, you might already be surmising, you might already be noticing a progression going on here. And I'm not talking about the numerical progression of one thing, two things, three things, seven, eight things, but rather that we're actually in the early stages of the manifestation cycle. And as we go through this whole thing, I think it's going to really, you know, bring it to light. And each one of the separate suits based on the element is giving you kind of like a sliver or a part of that. And it's just fascinating stuff to me. It's always been fascinating. We started off with the one, obviously, and then there was the two, and then there was the third thing. And I like to relate it to, well, you know, the most obvious analogy is, okay, one, you've got man, and we talked about the phallic look of the number one. And then two, man meets woman, and the duality comes into play, and we talked about that last time, and we talked about the shape of the two and you know, the feminine curve of the two, or curves, depending on how you draw it out. And so the obvious analogy is man meets there's man, and then in two, man meets woman. In three, they get pregnant, and in four, structure, they manifest, they have a child. But that's the obvious one, but it can relate to any progress. So collaborating on a project, writing a book, a play, a movie, collaborating on music and invention, you know, any manifestation, even if you're a singular artist, you know, no man or woman is an island, as they say. Everything requires some form of collaboration. You know, the painter has to acquire her paints and brushes and canvas from someone, right? You know, artists have muses and so on. And so, you know, there's always some kind of collaboration, you know. And next time, in 2 weeks, we're going to do the fours, and we'll be talking about structure and the fours. But that's not the end of it. You know, it almost sounds like it is, because you have one and then two, and then the manifestation, three, and then the final product, four, structure. We're done, right? No, there's five other numbers, you know. And the problem with structure, Janet, is, you know, structure is a great thing, but you can get stuck at four and never get to the seven and the eight and the nine. Mm-hmm. Five is actually that chaos that breaks us out of the structure so that we can return to harmony in six. Seven is spiritual. You know, it's getting to it's realization. It's the number of the detective. Eight is abundance. You know, you may have structure at four, but you don't get true abundance till you have double four, and then nine, the completion. So we're going to be going through this whole cycle, and I just wanted to lay that out before we get into the threes here. I love the threes, though. You know, threes it's creativity, communication, integration, reproduction, progress, growth, expansion. I think it's all embodied in the third card of the major arcana, the Empress. And if you're looking at the image on Facebook, on our group, you're going to see it there. By the way, if you can't figure out how to get to our group, just search Psychic Talk or Psychic Talk Radio. There's a page in a group. You want to go to the group. You can also just open a new tab in your browser, type in psychictalk.net/Facebook. It'll take you right over there. You can join the group, join in the conversations. You'll also find this image on our Tarot Guild group, which has, you know, well over 5,200 members. 5,000 people there, folks. Go check it out. And you can follow along and look at the images as we go through things. You know, we're talking about the essence of a card, but, you know, I'll point out symbolism from the Radiant deck from the Waite Smith version, and it's just because, you know, that's what I'm most familiar with. Obviously, other decks have other symbols, and Janet's going to give us some insight into that. But so the three card, where do you want to start with the three cards?
We can start with the wands. I just wanted to briefly say that.
Sure.
When I see the threes, I think of the theme needing another for fulfillment. Needing another person, another person for fulfillment. Not just things, but another person. It's a coming together. Like you were saying, you know, an artist needs collaborators, not all the time, but, you know, that would be the same type of energy, especially with wands. you know, waiting for your ship to come in, you know, things like that. For our coffee tarot, we showed a pirate on a ship, and he, you know, and he was shown his fellow pirates how to make coffee out of a Chemex, which is, you know, totally anachronistic. But, you know, it was,
I love it.
Yeah, it was kind of while his Jolly Roger was on fire, and there's an island in the background. And, you know, we also took that to mean, like, instruction or demonstration. You know, because when you're demonstrating something, you know, there's the person, they're taking the knowledge, and then they're showing it to the person. And then if they incorporate that, then it will equal knowledge. And it could also mean, like, you're expanding your influence, doing your own thing, absorption in a vocation or a hobby, or also even expecting a return on investment. A lot of times that's what that waiting for your ship to come in means. It, you know, in the two, we sent it out. We sent the intention out, or we sent the goods out, or we sent some work out. And so then in the three, we're expecting a return on our investment. We're expecting to hear a yes, that we got the grant, we got the scholarship. We're now making some profit, you know, on our investment. I also see this card as like prioritizing the journey over the destination. You know, so many times, if we were to use the numbers as a metaphor, you know, people, you know, think, oh, I can't wait to get to the 8, to the 9, to the 10, you know, whether it's abundance or, you know, acclaim, accomplishment, things like that. But the Three of Wands, it's like a mini success, but it's more prioritizing the journey over the destination. But on a practical standpoint, it could mean overseas shipments, customs, anything dealing with that, or, you know, waiting for something to come in, you know, from overseas on a ship. Now, Snowland, we actually have a figure that looks like Sting, the lead singer of the Police, and he's on this island, and all these messages in the bottle are washing up as a nod to that awesome song by the Police. And so it's waiting for your ship to come in. There's little mini ships, but we also made that to look like what would Sting be doing with this, like a North Pole, you know, amplifier, and you could see like the waves amplifying his song as he's playing a guitar. And so a lot of times see the Three of Wands is publicity or feedback, you know, expanding your influence, and so therefore social media efforts, or, you know, promotion, you know, promoting yourself, because, you know, one of the ways that you get a return on investment, especially in this digital age, is you have to promote yourself, you have to put yourself out there, whether it's through business cards or flyers or posters or, you know, Instagram posts or things like that. And it also can mean trade and commerce. You know, some would say the Six of Coins for that. I see trade and commerce more to be the Three of Coins. Also, the Three of Wands has an indie-type feel to it. You know, like you're operating under your own power, or you're crowdsourcing. I also see crowdfunding campaigns like Kickstarter or Indiegogo is coming under the Three of Wands, because it's a person who has an idea, and they want to bring something to fruition, but needing another for fulfillment, meaning backers and money, they make an appeal to the crowd to say, hey, do you believe in this? And if so, will you put your money where your mouth is so I can make this happen for me and for us? And so I see Three of Wands, too, and being like the indie card of the tarot, as opposed to like mass market or going a traditional route or going through an institution. Three of Wands is more like a do your own thing, you know, and or, you know, networking with people, or using YouTube to get your message out. And also feedback, you know, because there's a type of a feedback loop there, you know, two, one, two, three. You know, you set it out, you know, the message or signal gets sent out, and then you get a message back to tweak whatever you have, or to, you know, give a second look to it. What about you? How do you see, you know? Also, I see the Three of Wands, too, is amalgamation of resources, you know, and in the health query, of course, you know, we're not qualified to do health readings, and I always recommend people go to their health practitioner, but there are times when I've seen the Three of Wands come up where it means that you're waiting test results, which would make sense, because if, you know, in a business type of sense, if you're waiting for a return on investment or waiting for your ship to come in, you know, if it were into, you know, in the health, it could mean, you know, awaiting, you know, test results, or perhaps, you know, waiting to see what that message will be once things have been evaluated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that you said that, because in my notes on the Three of Wands, I talk about freelancing. And,
You know, excellent.
And online stuff. I also see it as, for me, it's always been the card of writers and writing jobs. He's waiting for his ship to come in, but he doesn't stop there. He's planning ahead for what's to come and for expansion. You know, this is the early stage three. This is not the end. You know, his ship's coming in, but he's also looking at the big picture. And in the Waite Smith version, the wand staff in his right hand, you know, that to me, that's the planning ahead, and the two staffs behind him are the research he's already done. And the other thing is that, and I don't really understand how this actually happened, but for some reason, and this is way back, I just envisioned that staff in his hand. It shrunk down and became a pencil. He is, you know, writing this all out, you know, and it leads into the freelancing, and but also the aspect of the writer, writing jobs, things like that. You know, I see it. I see the Three of Wands and anything communication, and yeah, I see the Three of Wands because three is the number of communication in numerology as well, and so maybe it's from that point of view that I have embedded that in my subconscious understanding of what's going on with anything that's a three card in tarot. And it's just it's my language. It's my version, let's say, or something like that. You know, yours could be completely different is the point I'm trying to get across.
I love the idea of one of those being shrunk down as a pencil. I have never thought of that, and that's brilliant. I'm totally going to like add that to my toolbox, because normally for me, the card that comes up for writing a lot of times is Queen of Swords, but that's usually because I write nonfiction.
Okay.
It's more of a critical eye when I write, you know, it's more an intellectual. But come to think of it, the Three of Wands would be perfect for like especially if you're going to do collaboration work, or like I was saying about, you were saying freelance, I could see this card coming up for like the independent writer, the one that chooses to self-publish, because they want to do their own thing. They're like a free agent. They want to do it under their own power. And
The element. Yeah. And, you know, and wood, I mean, obviously pencils, wood, but the whole thing of it being the fire element, the fire suit, and that passion, and following your writers follow their passion, you know. And when the Three of Wands pops up for me, I mean, that's one of the first things, you know, I look at the reading I'm doing, and it pops in my head, and I see if it applies. Careers in writing, project management, freelancing, something along those lines.
Psychic Radio Network would be like the Three of Wands.
Oh, there you go.
Because we've all come together and we're communicating, and the wands is the fire and the passion, and we're, you know, ultimately our bottom line here at that network is to empower people, and that's a wands fire energy, you know, to give people tools to understand themselves better, to, you know, cultivate their passions and to go after what, you know, they want in life. So I can totally see the network is like Three of Wands, you know, because it is that we need each other for fulfillment for the whole thing, and it's a coming together, you know. And when you add, you know, our knowledge together, then it expands and creates something new.
And last time when we started talking about, you know, combining with other cards, I used that theme, for instance, the Three of Wands and the Eight of Wands, communicating on social media. I can also use the Fool card for that. The Three of Wands and the Magician, online business, a talented writer, a copywriter, Three of Wands and the Temperance card, or the Page of Wands, Knight of Wands, I get journalism, foreign correspondent, overseas study, things along those lines. Let's see, what's some other ones? Three of Wands and the Ace of of Swords, A Quick Wit, or Legal Documents. And the Three of Wands and the Two of Cups, Relationship Therapist, anyone? Three of Wands and the Knight of Cups, a poet or a writer, especially in the romance area. You know, and of course you could use other cups cards too. Maybe the Ace of Cups shows up with the Three of Wands, you know, anything along those lines. And then another example, the Three of Wands and the Nine of Wands, intellectual property.
Interesting. Why property for the Nine? Why property for Nine of Wands?
Okay, so and by the way, I want to let you know, everybody know that some of these are my examples, some of them are not my examples, because I go out, when I was writing this course, you know, this is all from my course, and when I was writing the course, I went out and did a lot of research, what do people think about combinations with certain cards, you know. So some of them I came up on my own, some of them I found on the net, you know, and you could do the same thing, you know, just research around, look for card combinations, and, you know, it doesn't have to be written in stone, but what it does is, it starts you thinking about, you know, when this card is next to this card, and you'll come up with your own interpretations, develop your own language, and install that into your subconscious mind, like I have. So when the Three of Wands pops up, I'm thinking communication, writers, and something else, you know, and then the something else is that other card, and then that's where the combination comes in. So with the Nine of Wands, okay, you know, the Three of Wands, you're writing, you're creating the intellectual property, and the reason why it's intellectual property to me is the Nine of Wands is you have all, in the Waite Smith version, you know, he's holding his wand, he's got his battle wounds there, you know, he's got the bandage on, and behind him are the eight other wands, all nicely in a row there, and if you think of it as, you know, whether it's writing or anything else that you've produced, these are the things that you produced, and you're standing in front of it with this wand, and you're guarding what you've produced, and that combined with the Three of Wands is how I get intellectual property.
Oh, now see, I would see that as the Seven of Wands, because the person is defending. And a lot of times with intellectual property, yeah, the very idea of intellectual property means that you're gonna defend it. So, see, when the Nine of Wands comes up, I think about how he's had the shit beat out of him. So I tend to see
understand
that as like
that.
So that's why I thought I'd ask. I'm like,
You can use both. One person might use the Seven of Wands, and someone else might think the Nine of Wands, depending on, you know, what's your tarot language. Yeah. So I could totally see that. You know, when we get to the Three of Swords, for instance, I use the Seven of Wands, because Three of Swords and Seven of Wands to me is unable to protect your boundaries properly.
I see.
Yeah. But we'll get to that when we get to that. You know, anything else we want to say about the Three of Wands before we look at another card?
No. I did think that sometimes I see this as creativity for creativity's sake as well.
We
talk a lot about, you know, waiting for a ship to come in and, you know, return on investment and things like that. But not everybody creates in order to sell something, or doesn't create just to, you know, think in their minds, okay, how can I make a profit from this? Which is a lot more viable now with the internet because of social media and online promotion. Artists have the ability now to really actually sell stuff, even introverted ones, because of, you know, places like Etsy or crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter, Indiegogo. So even the most introverted, where, you know, has the ability to possibly get the work out there and sell things, whereas, you know, a couple decades ago, you know, the introverted artists had a really rough time. You know, they almost had to have an extroverted ally or friend that would be, you know, a contact point for them, you know. But I also see the Three of Wands as creativity for creativity's sake. Like, you know, you're just making crafts at home, not because you want to sell them, but because you think they're beautiful or you want to give them as gifts, you know. And so, you know, you can't help but you feel that stirring within you to create something and make something. So it's not always necessarily about, you know, making money or, you know, a vocation or a job where, you know, there's going to be some coin involved, it also can be, you know, creativity for creativity's sake. So do you want to go on to the Three of Coins, speaking of coins? I see this card as like a card of the sum being greater than the parts. You know, it's kind of like a measure twice and cut once type of card where you want to really get your stuff in order. I see this as a card of like checklists, of schematics, mapping. In our coffee tarot, we did something a little bit different. We showed three archaeologists that were excavating a grave in Yemen where they believe that was one of the first places that people took coffee beans and roasted them and turned them into a drink. And so Ron set it in Yemen. Yeah, I had it set in Yemen where he has these excavators and there's like maps and papers and a knapsack beside them and they have their tools and they're digging. And we took that to reflect, you know, a blueprint and excavation, exploring history, going by protocols, discovery, journaling, digging for things, reading the manual, following directions, sometimes finding skeletons, literally and metaphorically. It could be construction or long-term projects, even subcontracting. I always see this like too as a subcontracting card. Uncovering what matters or an apprenticeship, manifestation, or even an unusual revelation. In our Snowland deck, we show these three cavemen, and one of the cavemen is consulting this elaborate blue blueprint, and it's hilarious because obviously that's anachronistic, and the other two are looking at him like, huh, you know, with their clubs. One of them has this big snowball in his hand, like, what do you want me to do with this, boss? And so, you know, it's kind of like I see this sometimes as like a temp service, somebody who's not maybe you know, established at their job, but maybe they work for a temp service, you know, but also like building something together, you know, or even raising the bar on a work, you know, instead of just calling it in, they're really trying to raise the bar. Also, I see this as, well, it could be in medical, but it could also be financial or any other thing, is getting a second opinion. Because in the Rider-Waite-Smith, you know, it looks like there's these, looks like this builder has a hammer in his hand, and he's near like the Keystone area or the archway, and he's installing something. He's up on a footstool, and then there's, you know, these two, presumably people who have hired him, or maybe one has hired him, and the other one's the supervisor on the job or the owner of the church or the building. And so, you know, they're consulting a blueprint. They're going back to say, okay, now how we want to do this, you know, step by step. They're consulting the schematics. Heating instructions, you know, maybe didn't follow the blueprint, and you know, they're coming back saying, look, this is what we said, this is not what you're doing, you know. So there's, you know, a lot of back and forth in the Three of Coins where there's like a type of consulting, you know, and discovery and uncovery to find out, okay, what is it that we're really doing here? And there's a sense of mapping and a needing to plan, you know, and that goes back to the, you know, measuring twice, cut once, because if you just rush into something and you're not following the directions, you know, or you're not doing it right, it could cause delays in projects eventually, and this could easily turn into like a reverse Three of Coins where you have, because, I mean, if you don't get your foundation right or if you don't get some of your key points right in a project, well, the rest of it can end up collapsing down the road. And like you were saying earlier, how we're still like in the early stages numerologically, if we were to look at it as a metaphor for progress. And so the three is still early stages. And so if you don't get this little milestone, you know, set up right and short up right, then, you know, a couple steps later when the five hits the fan, when you start getting some upheaval or some shaking or whatever, you know, it may not stand the test of that shaking.
There you go. Yeah, I see it as the perfect example of collaboration, which I mentioned earlier, talking about, you know, artists and other things. You know, it also takes two or more people to collaborate to make certain things, you know, especially the prime example that I gave there. The way I see it is you've got the cleric presumably the client, you know, they're working on a cathedral. In this case, there's a person holding plans in the Waite-Smith version. I see him as the architect, and then you have the artisan who's actually doing the work creating. So for me, the Three of Pentacles can indicate skill and talents, job satisfaction, teamwork, taking pride in your work. The Three of Pentacles can mean careers as an architect, designers, construction managers, you know, anything in that area. In a love reading, depending on the surrounding cards, it could indicate love found at work, couples working together, work coming first in the relationship, things along those lines, you know. And then when I team it up with other cards, I get things like with the Magician, a talented team, like a sales team. The Lover's card, finding love in the workplace, loving your job, it can mean as well. The Moon card, night work, love that one. With the Knight of Cups or the Chariot, business travels. With the Queen of Cups, nursing, healthcare jobs. With the Six of Swords, science jobs. With the Knight of Swords, dangerous work. You know, so depending on how you interpret other cards, when you combine it with the Three of Pentacles, there's a lot of ways you can look at it, and you know, maybe you'll come up with some fascinating combinations there.
You said for nursing, Three of Coins and Queen of Cups. What did you say right before that?
Oh, I was talking about the Knight of Cups and the Chariot.
Chariot.
Basically, anything that has movement or, you know, cars that are traditionally thought of as travel, you could even use the Six of Swords for travel over water, and then combine that with the Three of Pentacles.
That.
Business travel.
I was thinking Three of Coins plus Eight of Wands, airports. You know, flying by the air, Eight of Wands, Three of Coins plus Eight of Wands. Mm-hmm. The Chariot, too, if you do Three of Coins and a Chariot, can be a car mechanic working on a car.
Yeah.
Chariot
there you go.
Because Chariot often means like a land vehicle or, you know, travel by land or technically train, because in Snowland, our Chariot is called the train. So, you know, I'd see anything that's land based, whether it's a car or a train, Three of Coins and Chariot could be travel by train. That's cool. Yeah, travel by water, I would see Six of Swords, air, Eight of Wands. Cool. Yeah, sometimes the tarot speaks that basically and that plainly. Like you were saying, Three of Coins plus Moon, night work, hello, you know? That's really cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Love
and, you know, the idea is to get people to start thinking and seeing, you know, seeing beyond just the one individual card, but you know, how does that work in combination? You know, I mean, you can do a lot with one card, but I always tell people you have a tarot reading when you have more than one card. You got, you know, 2, 3, 4 cards at least, you know, before you start to really have a real tarot reading. From my point of view of what that is, you know, you can read one card for sure, you know, but that's just how I teach it. You know, I think and it's more fun too. You know, how many combinations can you come up with?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
another way you can challenge yourself is like not only taking two cards and reading them together, but also let's say that you draw the Chariot. You can ask yourself, this is an exercise you can do, is call it like a lens exercise, where you draw a card and say, okay, I'm going to try to look at every card in the tarot through this lens, okay? So if you were to get the Chariot, then what you would do is you would actually write down, like, all the card names. Yes, all 78. Just try it. And then go through it. Like, okay. Now, so if I had the Chariot, and the Chariot is a vehicle of some sort or transport, what would it mean with the Fool? Well, it could mean a hobo. Think about it. You know how hobos, you know, get rides on trains and they don't pay for it. And after all, the Fool card, you know, he has the little knapsack on his shoulder. You know, what would it mean, a magician, you know, with a travel? Maybe it's a conductor. Because think about the Magician, man, he has all that stuff on the table. And have you ever seen some of those, like, Amtrak hubs where, you know, there's these people and they've got all these routes in front of them and these huge computer things, you know. So maybe seeing the magician through a chariot lens would be somebody who is a conductor and who is, you know, like a train conductor and who's managing all these routes and where to go. An empress, what would the empress in the chariot mean? Maybe a stroller. You got a mom, right? And you got a transport. Maybe it means a stroller, you know? So if you start challenging yourself and see, you know, just pick one card and say, okay, this is the lens I'm going to look through all 78 cards from, boom. I mean, you're already, you know, greatly expanding your catch of associations just by doing that with one card.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you can niche it down even further. As I mentioned the even further. I mentioned the Three of Pentacles and the Queen of Cups, nursing, healthcare,
yeah,
jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Queen of Cups is that nurture. But even further down, my mind's blanking right now. What, Janet? What's the? Oh God, what's the term for somebody that is, you know, helping with the birthing, but they're not necessarily a pediatric?
Midwife.
Yeah, midwife, you know, so it could be perfect for like a midwife, I think, you know, chunking down even further. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm. So we got Three
cool.
of Pentacles, Three of Wands, Three of Pentacles. What do we want?
Now we get to one of the worst cards of the deck. I'm sorry, but it's very hard to put a positive spin on this.
Yes,
it is. It's the Three of Swords. It's the Three of Swords. I consider this the shot through the heart, you know. Shot through the heart. You know,
there you go.
You give love a bad name. No, it's just, no, I'm laughing about it, but it's really not funny. This is a sucky card to get because it means, you know, broken heart. It's sorrow. It's infidelity, you know, cheating on someone, a turmoil, rupture, severance, grief, going away, a love triangle, mourning, a tearing.
Literally heartbreak.
A heartbreak. Yeah, betrayal.
Yeah,
you know, in our
breaking
coffee
the heart
deck,
with the Three Swords.
Yeah, in our coffee deck, this was very almost prophetic in a way. Ron had this card as in an airport, and you could see a plane taking off and has like a little heart on the back of it. But it shows a woman who is carrying a baby, and she's walking through the airport, and a piece of paper has fallen, and there's a guy behind her who's trying to reach out to the little boy who's reaching towards him, and has a teddy bear that's all, you know, tattered and torn and sad. And you know, with all this immigration stuff going on in the United States and the separation of families at the border and retaining them and everything, it just, oh, when I looked at that card, I was like, oh my gosh, it's almost like it is. You know, it's not quite like that because the woman's dressed in a business suit and, you know, you can infer that perhaps this is a husband and wife and she's leaving him, or it could just mean she's going away and he, you know, the child and the woman's going to maybe miss him. We don't know. And there's a sign in the back that says coffee shop, you know, with the arrow going the other way. And so, you know, it's sad, and it could mean, you know, any kind of separation like that, you know, where families are literally separated or there's some kind of severance. Very sad. Exile, you know, emigration and having to, you know, go badly, a going away. It's just,
mm-hmm.
Oh, it's such a sad card. And then snowing.
But like you said in the beginning, I was just going to jump in and say, like you said in the beginning, Janet, you know, this is the minors. This is real life. And so part of real life is anguish and heartbreak and things like this, you know, it's real.
Right. Well, you know, if you don't mind, it reminded me, can I read from my Naked Tarot?
Oh, sure.
It's in the spirituality section. My Naked Tarot's got tons of stuff for every single card. And in the advice section, I cover career, romance, parenting, and spirituality. And, you know, I always try to have, you know, in anything I write, at least a spin of hope or something that can comfort a person, even because even the most difficult cards, you know, we can try to get some positive out of it or at least some comfort or amelioration of the suffering. And so for the Three of Swords in the spirituality section of my upcoming Naked Tarot, I wrote, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Spoken by Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, this line from the Beatitudes, Latin beatitudo, meaning blessedness, seems a bit presumptive. You mean if I mourn, I'll get automatically comforted? Well, yes and no. It depends on your ego and your willingness to hang on to pain for some type of payoff. In this particular verse, the Greek word for blessed is makarios, from the root mak, indicating large or of long duration. The word is an adjective suggesting happy, supremely best, a condition in which congratulations are in order. Now you think, what? What do you mean congratulations, supremely blessed? But it's almost like, I see it as almost like a congratulations, and you're part of the human race. You know, you've experienced suffering, you know, and that's part of what I believe incarnating on this earth is about. But then I put, then I write, there's something liberating, even refreshing, about allowing yourself to be cracked open by sorrow. And then I put, see the devil chapter. Not self-pity, that's five of cups, but truly experiencing grief and rejection from your toes to your scalp. It breaks you, see the tower, but also allows something beautiful to come forth. Such a process requires a sense of surrender, of entitled ego, of trying to protect yourself from the hurt, of attempting to avoid the dark truth of what happened. The mystery of this experience and the strength and resilience, yes, even deep joy, it affords can't be properly addressed here. From someone who's been broken many times and put together again, we can rebuild her, we have the technology, better, stronger, faster. Trust me, you can rise above the ashes, eventually finding love, beauty, and meaning. Hang in there, for your redemption draws nigh. So I try to put a positive spin on that from a spiritual standpoint. Many people have suffered, many spiritual people have suffered, Jesus obviously being crucified, and other religious people, Hypatia, she was more of an intellectual, but oh my God, everything she went through, being, drugged through the streets and cut by the masses, mostly all male, and a lot of her knowledge was lost, and so... it's a really tough card. In the Snowland deck, Ron portrayed this as a group of wolves on one side of a big snow, like a snow fort or something, and then there's this log crossing to the other side. And so there's a feeling from that card of more of a rejection or exclusion, feeling alone or outcast, or a banishment, or even somebody being blackballed or shamed, humiliated, censored, kick out of a group, alienation, marginalized, or in religious terms, excommunicated, or left to fend for yourself. Sometimes it could be a scapegoat. I've even seen the Three of Swords come up for bullying, and that's usually more the Five of Swords, but sometimes the Three of Swords is the result of bullying, and how that feels, and abandonment. Because supposedly out in the wild, the chances of survival of a lone wolf is a lot less, because wolves hunt in packs, and so there's a benefit of, let's say, a group kill and what have you. But, now in these modern days, metaphorically speaking, it's a lot better. We don't have to be in those lower chakras of depending on the tribe as much, because we have the internet, we have subways, we have... mass transit and things like that. And so it's not like caveman days where you really were dependent upon the tribe for your survival. Now if you get, excommunicated or blackballed or alienated, you can just say, screw you, and then you find another group. And it's easier because you don't have to sit there and look for another, nomadic group to try to, get into. You could join a Facebook group, and find like-minded others that way, or church groups or civic groups or what have you to be involved in to help, assuage those feelings of loneliness or isolation. And it's a very timely card because, I've read some studies lately that more than ever people feel lonely. And that's, that is sad, especially considering you wouldn't think that they would be for those reasons that I mentioned, mass transit and the ability, to meet people online, be a part of groups. But then sometimes
you have this dynamic. Yeah, mass communication.
Right, you have those dynamics, though, of exclusion and bullying even there, and sometimes for sensitive people that, you're still in that position of feeling isolated or lonely, and it's a tough card. It really is. But one of the things that I said in our Snowland deck, and even in the Tarot in Reverse card book, which is the card about reversals, that if you can also look at the positive spin of the Three of Swords is like the Three Musketeers, where people get together through thick and thin, and it's kind of like an
there
up against the world. yeah, us against the world, and hey, you know, my core group has stood with me, and you know, that's okay. I got the people who love me that are surrounding me. So I'd tend to see that too. It could be the three, you know, three musketeers through thick and thin, you know, people who come to your aid to help shore you up during your difficult times, because three, you know, being that the companionship number too, you know, and needing another for fulfillment.
Right. And, you know, it's a tough card, but what I try to get people to focus on is the mental aspect, because, hello, it's swords, you know, mental consciousness,
true,
ideas, you know. And so ultimately, uh-huh, all of this is in your head. By the time the Three of Swords shows up in a reading, whatever caused it has happened, is in the past. What you're left with is the thoughts on it, okay? Or you're thinking of something that could potentially happen in the future that hasn't happened yet, right? So
See, I think, oh, wow, that's surprising, because, see, I consider that the Eight and Nine of Swords. See, when the Eight, mm-hmm, the person who's got those, like, wrappings around them in the blindfold, but they can easily get out of it, I see the Eight of Swords as the point. Three of Swords, I see, is the actual grief. You're the in-the-moment feeling like shit. And yet, of course, feelings are a result of the stories we tell ourselves, but I consider the Three of Swords, man, the fresh wounds. Like, I wouldn't even consider starting to tell a person, hey, what's your thoughts, or do your cognitive behavioral therapy tools, that, because it's so fresh. I mean, it's just like a fresh wound. But the Eight of Swords, I tend to see, is where, okay, yeah, the wound has happened, but now you're telling yourself stories, and you're getting trapped by them, you know, and because you keep playing, mm-hmm, these loops. And then the Nine of Swords, I see, is the Nightmare card, is being all in your head, where, you know, you're imagining things that will never happen or very unlikely. It's catastrophic thinking. So that's interesting that you would ascribe that to the Three.
Yeah, well, it's always in combination. So you'd have the Three of Swords,
sure,
and maybe the,
sure,
Eight of Swords together, for example, you know. But, you know, a lot of times it's an emotional response to a mental thing going on. So, you know, especially if it's,
really,
especially if it's a future thing, you know, fear, false evidence appearing real, or how I like to say it, false expectations appearing real. And we create,
right,
in our mind, you know, future happenings that haven't and probably never will even occur. So, you know, tips for the reader. So when the Three of Cups shows up, I'm sorry, the Three of Swords, we haven't done the cups yet, which actually is my favorite. With the Three of Swords showing up, you know,
I can't stand the Three of Cups.
I'm the opposite. It's my favorite one. I love it in combination with other cards.
That's because you're a life path two.
No, I'm
like
a life
people.
Path.
I'm a seven.
I'm a life path
a life
six,
path.
And I love.
Oh, is it a six? Oh.
It's the nurturer. No, I think maybe,
oh,
I'm
okay,
an engram two, or my adjunct thing on the,
oh,
side,
right,
is
you're
a two.
You're an enneagram two. Okay, there you
something
go.
Something like,
right,
that.
Yeah, that's right. Life path,
yeah,
six. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But just to finish up on this, so, okay, you're a reader, you're new, and, you know, here comes up the Three of Swords. Okay, so what do you do? So what you do is you remind the seeker of their passions and their dreams. Get them motivated about life again. You know, steer them away from wanting to escape their problems. They need to focus, you know, not on negative possible futures, but rather visualize how they want things to be so that they can manifest them, you know, so... what else would I say about that? You know, so let's see here. Well, I'll just
see,
give
I think
some
I
examples.
I would have an opposite approach from used to being, you know, a Christian pastor. A lot, mm-hmm, of times it seems like, especially Americans in the modern times, they want to move on from grief so fast because we're uncomfortable when we see somebody suffering. You know, we just want to either turn away from them or pretend like we didn't hear it or ignore them or, you know, we just can't deal with it or we don't know what to say.
Mm.
And so if it were me and I saw the Three of Swords, I would actually, you know, consider just acknowledging their feelings of betrayal and hurt, because personally I feel like you can't move on to heal unless you actually feel, you know. And I think sometimes too many people, especially in these modern times, where we're encouraged to, oh, stay happy, be positive, be optimistic, which naturally I am. But I think that sometimes if we gloss over the pain and the feeling,
absolutely,
before,
yeah,
you know, before we get to the point of, okay, now you need to restructure your thoughts and see how you're doing it, then they might end up repressing and pushing down those feelings of pain. And then that can manifest eventually into depression, and, you know, or worse, you know, just by pushing it down, and so I think I would have, you know, a little bit of an opposite.
Yeah.
But that goes to show,
well,
you know, there's different types of tarot readers and...
Yeah, and not only that, it depends on what the surrounding cards are. I keep coming back to that,
yeah.
You know, so it depends on
yeah.
the situation. And for me, the anguish of the three card is further along in the process than it is for you. So for me, when the Three of Swords shows up, what's going on is they've gone through the different levels of, you know, denial, all these things, and now they're in this anguish state where they're stuck. They need to move forward. How do they do that? This is how you do it.
Yeah.
So
see,
basically,
I see that later.
I know, but see, I don't do it that way. I don't do I don't do it that, you know, we're here and then we're at a later place farther on in the cards. I just don't see it that way. I see it as this card means this, this card means that, regardless of the numerological sequence, you know, and this is different from the manifestation sequence that I talked about earlier, and you'll see what I'm talking about when we get later on in the cards. But for me, I'm just focusing on the Three of Swords. What does that mean to me? This is what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I want them to, you know, rather than an analyst who's going to spend, you know, I'm a hypnotherapist. I'm, you know, cure you in an hour, not spend the next 10 years going over your issues to finally come to some kind of solution or something like that. So rather than analyzing it and going over it and, you know, you're already in the midst and you're past it at this point. You're actually at a point beyond all those other the other steps of the process of grieving, and you're at a point where you're stuck and you got to move forward. And that's why I remind them, you know, that these are thoughts. Okay. And the way to solve the problem is not to analyze it for the next, you know, 5 months or 5 years or 5 days even, but rather to focus on what you want to manifest now and to return to your dreams and your hopes and move forward and progress, you know, past this point, you know. So it all depends on the reading, the question from the querent, you know, where are they, and, you know, what are they ultimately trying to accomplish? And then this card comes up, you know, that, and what's the surrounding cards? And that's how you're going to handle it, depending, you know, on all those different factors. You know, sometimes, like, when the Three of Swords shows up with the Five of Swords, I think somebody's deliberately trying to hurt you. Don't let them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just depends on the surrounding, you know, and what's the reading? Is it a love reading? Well, you know, the Three of Swords, it can denote painful time, you know, dealing with rejection, separation. But it can also mean the couple's just not communicating properly. You know, swords, communication. Three, communication. There's misunderstandings. You know, they're shutting each other out. You know, in a career reading, you know, completely different. Three of Swords can signify work that, you know, puts the seeker under stress. Could also denote a cardiologist, a surgeon. Grief, you know, in the health, relating to health in some way, you know, so, you know, to me, it's all about what's actually going on. You know, you get the Three of Swords and the Six of Cups, a difficult childhood, or you get, the Three of Swords and the Eight of Pentacles, tedious work. So, you know, what else is going on in the reading?
That's interesting. And it goes to show that how, you know, I think we're displaying how different readers have actually different approaches, which can affect how the cards are interpreted and the kind of advice, you know, that we give to our clients. Because, you know, earlier you said you don't feel it's really a reading until you start getting two or more cards. And with my clients, most of the time what we'll do is they'll have this big issue and they'll just write it out via email, and I have them do that, and I'll break down that complex issue into actual separate questions.
Oh, good. Because, yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, because so often, I have that on my blog, actually, how to do an email tarot reading. So if you Google that, come up with that title. And I explain, so for me, I'm actually a really big proponent of the one-card reading if the question is specific enough. So I'm starting to see where you're coming from, that you're the type of person who would do 2, 3, 4 cards, you know, for reading and read it like a story, which is what a lot of people do. But for me, I try to, like, milk as much information from one card as I can. And so maybe that's why, you know, for me, you know, I associate the Eight of Swords as being stuck in a mental loop of self-limitation, because I'm used to mostly interpreting one card for, you know, different issues, and I'm trying to suck all I can out of it, and I rarely do 2 cards for an issue, except of, like, if I'm at, let's say a person is wanting to know what their greatest strengths at the time is, or some things that are holding them back, then obviously then I'll probably draw 3 cards to say, okay, this, mm-hmm. and this. But that goes to show, too, how your style of reading affects that. And so it's not, like, you know, for the listener, it's not that we're contradicting each other. It's that our style of reading affects how we interpret it. And so for me, I jump to the 8 for that only because I'm used to gleaning from one card. But Dax, since he is so used to reading 2, 3, 4 cards, he obviously has gotten used over the years of seeing pairs or triplets show up. And so in his mind, he knows what that means. So, you know, make sure you add that to your toolbox and to ask yourself, am I more of a reader where I, you know, ask one card, you know, I consult one card, or do I consult 3 cards? Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you can let your interpretation be informed, you know, by your style.
Yeah, and it's a great teaching moment, because just because somebody reads a particular way doesn't mean that, you know, that's the way it has to be done. And even with individual interpretations of individual cards, just because it says something in a book doesn't mean you have to adopt that as your interpretation and your language. You know, when you're learning, what you're doing with tarot is you are creating a language database in your subconscious mind. So when these cards pop up, the various symbols are going to, you know, depending on what you focus on, is going to pop up different thoughts and ideas, you know, and then in combination with other cards, if you work that way. When I'm on the radio, you know, it could be a very simple question, and I'm still pulling 5 cards, and then I might pull another 5 cards, and I might not use all of the cards when I'm actually talking to the caller on the reading, you know, but I pull them in 5s, because I'm using my 5 card yes-no spread in conjunction with getting a lot of information from a lot of cards. Sometimes I have, you know, 5, 10, 15 cards on the screen, you know, and I'm gleaning different things, and I'm not even mentioning on air that, you know, I'm dealing with all these different cards. Sometimes I only pull 1 or 2 or 3 cards, you know, or I'll pull 1 card and then 2 cards as kind of qualifiers that I put on the left and the right, you know, kind of a little below in as I'm laying them out, and I'm looking at it that way. But I always start on radio. I always pull the 5 cards first, and then if I, you know, other questions or other angles come up, I'll pull a single card, and I may or may not, you know, pull a couple of other cards to go along with it.
That's so neat, because every time I do readings on air, it's only 1 card.
I've noticed that.
That is so cool.
I've noticed that. And it's great, because you can do all that with just 1 card, you know, and it's just completely different ways of doing it. Nothing's right or wrong. It's what fits you and your style, you know, and if you're new, you're developing your style, you know, and, you know, you might do one thing one day and then and I'm a Gemini. So, like, you know, one day I'm out with friends, they have a problem. I pull a card out, 1 card, you know. Other days I'm with a client, I'm pulling 5 cards, you know, it changes for me, because I'm a Gemini and I like to, you know, do different things. I find different situations require a different way of looking at it. Also to shorten things. You know, I'm really good at pulling a gazillion cards, but not doing a 2-hour reading with 1 caller. Some other radio hosts are not good at that. And so, especially if they're new hosts, I tell them, just pull 1 card. Just give them a quick flash of insight from that one card and then move to the next caller. That's how you keep your calls under 2 minutes each, you know. Yeah, so it depends on who's doing it too, you know. It's like I've trained myself to look at a bunch of things and whittle it down to a piece of information that I can give out in a few sentences and then move to the next caller. Other readers, especially if they're new or they're new radio hosts, you know, they're great readers. They've been reading for 30 years, but now they're on radio and they don't know how to translate that, you know. So what they end up doing is they pull a bunch of cards and they're spending 15 minutes on one caller because they're going through the entire reading. They pulled an entire Celtic cross or something, you know, and they're going through the whole thing. It's like, no, these are called mini readings. You're supposed to just give them a little bit of insight. And if they want a longer, reading, they can book a private session with you for a longer reading, you know. So just pull one card, two at the most, you know. So it all depends.
Well, another element we haven't really addressed is the fact, too, that you have to have trust. You have to have trust that the reader you are drawn to is right for you. And that's why I feel it's really important when a person goes to get a reading that they should, ideally, you know, the person has their style on their bio, like the type of reader, like for you, you know, people would know right away that you are more of a hypnotherapist, NLP type person where you're getting them on their feet quick. Me, I'm more of a psychological, mystical, symbolic reader. So my approach is different, but also, you know, our ethics, you know, which I'm sure they're probably similar in that aspect. But people have to trust, you know, that they're being led to the reader that they're supposed to be going to, you know. So, you know, don't get scared out there if you're like, well, which reader should I pick then? Well, you just have to trust your gut, you know, after investigating and sussing them out and checking out their bio and their experience, you know, trust your gut that the type of one that you've picked, you know, was best for you, you know. Oh, we haven't done the cups. We'll have to do the cups real quick.
Well, it's funny because the next sentence I was going to say is like, okay, Janet, I got one question for you, and that is, why is the cups your most unfavorite of the threes? It's my favorite, so explain that one.
Oh, no. Do I? you know why? Because I tend to see this as just gossipy girls. And clicks.
Oh,
and
I can't stand that.
I can't stand clicks. I really don't like most groups of women because they're mostly just airheaded, stupid, shallow. I mean, I'll just be honest. You know,
This just shows you how people, when they interpret cards, they bring their own baggage along with them.
Thanks. Kiss my ass, Dad. No. That's true. It's true. You bring your own experience and your own, you know, I try not to let that bleed out into my readings for people. This is just my personal aversion that hopefully doesn't bleed into how I read for people. But, that's why I don't like it. I just see it as, superficial, like how people get on Instagram or Facebook and they'll have, like, their readings with all their flowers and their crystals and their cards laid out and everything looks perfect, like a photo shoot. And I see that as, like, it's Three of Cups. I see that as, like, slick photoshopping, making things appear prettier than they need to be. You know what I'm saying? That's not real.
But it's funny because when you said that, it just popped in my head that sometimes when I get the Three of Cups along with the Eight of Wands, because always associate it, Eight of Wands, I can associate it with a lot of different things and things moving quickly, but you know, I always think of fast communication when I get a three card with the wands. And when I get the Three of Cups and the Eight of Wands, I do often think that. I often think of gossip, you know, on Facebook or via the internet. It's interesting.
And clicks, you know, which can result in Three of Swords, you know, because you have people who deliberately will exclude, and, you know, it's like Mean Girls, you know, it's like the dark side of Three of Cups is Mean Girls, basically, and that's why I don't like it. I'd much rather be with a bunch of guys than a bunch of girls, that's just me. But the Three of Cups can also mean, like, a boys' night out, going to drinking at bars, social events.
Or girls' night out.
Or tailgating, you know, how, like, guys will go into, you know, the parking lot of a sports arena, let's say football, and you know, they tailgate, bring out their grills and the beer and everything like that. So, but for like our coffee tarot, we had it more as a family type card. We showed the three little bears. Not the three little bears, the three bears. Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear. They're at this diner, and it's called Goldie's Diner, which is hilarious because it's supposed to be Goldilocks. And, you know, they're enjoying the little iced coffee there. And so for the Three of Cups, for the Three of Cups with the coffee tarot, we made it more of a spin of everything being just right. Remember, you know, with the Goldilocks when she got into the baby's porridge and his bed and every and chair, everything was just right. So for the coffee tarot, we took the Three of Cups as a spin of everything being just right, of reciprocation, taking the day off, splurging on something, going out to dinner or a family outing, you know, parents and children, spending happy times together. You know, for Snowland, we have the macaque, the Japanese snow monkeys, and they're like on these hot springs with these cocktails and this little penguin's bringing them drinks. And so it's more of an energy of, you know, hanging out. And, of course, there could be gossiping and things like that. But also this comes up, too, with just friends. So if you're going to have a romance reading and the Three of Cups comes up, that's like a just friends card, whereas the Two of Cups would be actual intimacy, you know, in romance. But when Three of Cups, well, that person just sees you as a friend. And so, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Three of Cups.
Yeah, and
what
for
do you
the,
think?
For those that are following along and they're looking at the Radiant Waite Smith image on the Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group there, I'll just tell you what I tell my students, which is, okay, so Three of Cups. Obviously, here you got three individuals celebrating. And the laurel wreaths on the women's heads, they symbolize like victory, status, recognition, glory. The woman with her back to us is clad in red, which is the color of passion. Passion for life. Another's clad in yellow, the color of optimism, health, vitality.
Yeah, it could be red, too. It could be red because she just stabbed somebody in the back and she's covered with their blood.
Too. Oh, yeah. Here comes Janet's, here comes Janet's point of view. And then the third one is in
season. And the yellow and is because she pissed herself.
She did, yeah. And then the third one the third one is clad in white, and that's the color of spirit, purity, innocence. So the card can mean, you know, a party, enjoyment, celebration, mm-hmm. dancing, celebrating an accomplishment, being with friends, but like you said, girls' night out, boys' night out, having an entourage. Mm-hmm. I often see it as having an entourage, being popular girls, valley girls, you know, girls' night out.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, combinations with other things, you know, if you have the Three of Cups and the Two of Cups, well, obviously a wedding or engagement party, because for me, the Queen of Pentacles, I mean, literally looks like my mom. And then the way she's holding the car, the pentacle, the coins in the card, in the Waite Smith version, it's a very nurturing card, you know? So when I see that with the Three of Cups, I think of, you know, wedding shower, baby shower, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then with a Pentacles card, like, okay, Ace of Pentacles, Three of Cups, business partners, that kind of thing. With the Fool card, it could be celebrating a new beginning or a university party. Or even with the Eight of Cups and the Three of Cups, the university party or the Devil card, you know, overindulgence, things like that.
Alcoholism, especially if you get the Devil coming up with that.
And we just talked
like
about
somebody Three of Cups could be social drinking, you know,
if
you have that with a Devil Cup. You get the Devil come up, if somebody went from a social drinker to an alcoholic.
Or if you took the Eight of Cups and the Devil card, it could mean that too, you know, the alcoholism. So there's a lot of ways you can play with this. Also, the Three of Cups and you know, we just talked about the Three of Pentacles. So you got the Three of Cups and the Three of Pentacles. A work party.
Yeah, the Four of Wands, it could be like a block party. Four of Wands could be like a block party or, you know, like a street fair. You know, something, a community celebration.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes on and on. Yeah, well, actually, you know, it's funny because in my Naked Tarot, for the Four of Wands, I had community gatherings and bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, baby showers and all that. I have it all you know, under the Four of Wands. But yeah, you put the Three of Cups there, and you're really getting, you're really, you know, honing in and getting confirmation for that.
Yeah, I mean, like if the Hierophant card, which often talks about ritual, shows up with the Three of Cups and the Four of Wands, I mean, okay, ritual, celebration, you know, and the Four of Wands, you know, for me, you know, that would narrow it down a lot. I would go with bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah for that, you know, or something like that, you know. But, yeah, so there you go, the Three of Cups. Janet doesn't like it. I love it.
The icy silence. Oh, God, this has been a fun show.
Yes. And so next time, and it's going to be 2 weeks, you know, because we're on our summer relax schedule. So for this month and next month, we're doing Tarot Insider shows every other Wednesday. So in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the four cards. Four is structure in numerology, and there's a lot of structure going on. It's going to be a lot of
fun. Interesting, because that's when you're heading into a plateau. And like you were saying earlier, that's when you can start getting too comfortable, and then we'll examine what can happen with that when you just play it safe.
Absolutely. So, you know, we were talking about pulling a card on radio, and we got a couple of callers. I thought, let's pull one card and see what comes up for a couple of callers here before the end of the show, because they've been waiting a long time to chat with us.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing readings. Well, I'm going to go. You go ahead and do the readings if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'm going to go. And goodbye, everybody. And it was great to be with you.
Goodbye,
and I
Janet.
I will see you in big decks, and we'll cover the fours.
And we'll cover
goodbye,
the fours.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. All righty. So I'm going to go to – bye, Janet. Janet just dropped off there. We're going to go to area code 914, see who's on there. Hello, 914. Are you there, caller? Hello, 914. Oh, gosh. I don't know what happened to them. Going once. Going twice. Okay. So we're going to put them back on hold. We're going to go over to area code 417. Hello,
Hello.
Caller.
What's
Hello. Your name, hon?
Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. Where are you calling in from?
Missouri.
Awesome.
I was just hoping you might. Yeah, I've been listening to you talk about these cards, and I was just hoping maybe you would pull one for me, see what comes up.
We'll see what comes up. And okay. So what's going on? You know, if you called in, you must have a burning question. Something's going on.
Well, you know, I didn't punch the number one right away because I thought I'm just going to call and listen. I like just listening to you guys, too, but... the more I listened, the more I thought, well, it'd be fun to hear what card he pulls. I'm retired. I enjoy life. I would love to be in a relationship. I'm single. But I'm pretty healthy and enjoying life. So whatever it's meant to be, I guess.
There you go. There you go. So let's see what's coming up here. Well, you know, interestingly, there are a couple of people. You know, the court cards are often people showing up here, you know, and there's actually two. The first one that shows up is the Knight of Wands. And Wands is the fire energy. I would be surprised if this person isn't like an Aries or a Leo or a Sagittarius, something like that.
Okay,
you know?
Well, which is good. I'm an Aries.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he comes with a lot of passion and things like that. Some of the other cards after that, though, lead me to wonder, because you got the Tower card showing up right after that, which is an abrupt end, shift, unexpected events. You got the Seven of Swords, and the Seven of Swords is sometimes manipulation. That, you know, cunning, sneaky things going on in the background. And then you end up at the Ten of Swords, which is misfortune or plans in ruins, defeat, failure, the end of a cycle. But the sun is dawning in the background. And right after that, the Knight of Swords shows up. So, and Swords is air. So potentially somebody that's maybe a Gemini or a Libra or an Aquarius, you know. So it seems to me like what it's saying is that there may be this person that has a lot of passion and energy, an Aries, a Leo, a Sag, or somebody that exemplifies or has, you know, those qualities, enters in, but it's not going to end well. It's not going to be a great situation, but there's hope, because then rushing into almost like the and it's a knight card, which I love. So it Knight of Swords, you know, it's like literally the knight in shining armor comes in to save you. So this other person will show up, yeah, and potentially somebody that is a Gemini, a Libra, an Aquarius, but definitely, even if they're not one of those signs, they have a lot of the attributes of the air sign. So they're clever and quick-witted and, you know, skillful with language, and they might even have, you know, some psychic vision and great communicators, fearless, that kind of thing, forthright, which maybe the other person isn't that forthright, you know. So it gives you something to think about, some things to look for in the future here coming up.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. It was a lot of fun.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Bye-bye. That was Carolyn. And we're going to end the show now. We're way over. But I want to let everybody know that tomorrow we will be having our Soul Sisters show. And, you know, through this time here on Psychic Talk during the summer months, you know, July and August, while a couple of shows are on hiatus and our other shows are going on and every other, like in every other week schedule, the Soul Sisters show with Sue and Ann, they're going to be on every Thursday. So for sure, definitely you can plan on that. And they're going to be talking about how can you understand the patterns of drama in your life? Part one. So this is going to be a two-part thing. Patterns of drama. And they'll be taking calls on tomorrow's show as well. So if we didn't get to your call today, call in tomorrow or join them in the chat room. Remember, psychictalk.net/live is where you can listen to the shows. And right below the player is the chat room. You can jump in the chat room and you can ask questions in there, ask for readings right in the chat room without calling in. If you know, maybe you're at work listening and you can't call in, you know, but you want to ask a question. But it's a lot more fun when you call in, for sure. So the phone number again, 714-816-4628. Write that down. It's good for all of our shows, and you can call in tomorrow. It's going to be 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. noon Eastern, 5 p.m. London, UK. 714-816-4628. And that's it for today. We'll see you in a couple of weeks with Tarot Insider. Bye, everybody.